Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Another week, another glam weekend that Jinx is going to recap me on.
Another chic little weekend report. I know, our weekend updates. BL, hello.
Hi.
I think you are having a chic time at the moment, at the present.
Debatable. No, you go first.
Okay, well, I went to a chic little wedding. I can't do it. I went to a really lovely wedding party in Castlemaine for the weekend. Went to Victoria's Gold Rush Country.
You sure did. Wait, is Castlemaine near Sovereign Hill? No, I brought up Sovereign Hill on a recent podcast. Yeah, I shouldn't do it again.
That's a different one, but this is like Macedon Ranges. You know Castlemaine.
Castlemaine. I've been to Castlemaine.
Yeah. Oh, you say Castlemaine.
I don't know what Victorians do. I'm from Queensland. I'm immune.
I'm from Sydney, so I should say Castlemaine. But
that's how I say it. That's how I do it.
But I don't think I ever said it until I moved to Melbourne, so I feel obliged to do it in the Melbourne way.
Yeah, sure.
Whereas I had heard the word reservoir before moving to Melbourne and now just can't really do the reservoir.
Well, no, because it's not a real word.
It's not a real word.
It's not. Let's stop fucking kidding ourselves.
But yeah, I went to Castlemaine. Stayed at a newish hotel, like an old hotel that's been revitalized.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Gross. It's renewed. Newcastle.
Is it in an old like nunnery or church or brewery or?
No, I think it's just in an old hotel.
Okay.
It's a hotel in an old hotel called the Temperance. It was really lovely.
Yeah, it looked gorgeous on your Instagram story.
Went to the Botanic Gardens. Love going to the Botanic Gardens, as you know. And stopped in at a really cute pub on the way back in Chewton. A town I am now obsessed with.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What beyond the name is good about it?
I just love the name.
Yeah.
And I do know someone who lives there, but Chewton, it's so funny. It's fun to say.
It really is. Tooting on down to Chewton.
Exactly.
I, not being a driver, I feel like there's a lot in country Victoria that I miss out on.
There was one of those crazy antique stores that called like Moe's Antiques, and it was opposite the pub we went to, the Red Hill pub, which was great. High recommend.
Uh-huh.
High recommend. Great tunes in Chewton and good food. Anyway, but across the road, there was one of those like, you know when you go to a small town and some eccentric person has an equally eccentric shop?
Oh, yeah.
So the best kind of thing. And this one is like
tie-dye culture.
Yeah, absolutely. This one was like I didn't go into it, but it was like a bazaar and had like a mini moke, like a car crashing through the front of it with like two skeletons in there. And then like for no reason at all, I mean, that was for no reason too, but up on the roof, there's just like a wheelchair that's just like just glued to the roof that looks like someone's just fallen off. Anyway.
Have you ever been to the drive-in cinema in Coburg?
I haven't.
We should go.
Okay.
Because they have a like a diner, like when you get out of your car and go into the diner shop thing to get food, it's kind of like the town kook, but it's all movie paraphernalia.
Okay, cool.
So you walk through at any time of year and there's like the Blues Brothers, but they're covered in cobwebs from like 20 Halloweens ago. And there's like a Rocky Horror cutout, but like they haven't played Rocky Horror in God knows how long. It's really good.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think my favorite one that I've ever been to was the Banana Museum that is – it's like just outside of Palm Springs.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just a guy who loves bananas.
And who's got some really like real estate that you're like, how are you paying this rent?
Oh, there was nothing else around it. I'm sure. I'm sure he's owned it for a long time. Yeah. I don't think there's many people trying to get it.
Yeah, yeah,
this
yeah.
This particular spot. But yeah, it's just bananas inside.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Miss Marple's Tea Room down in Sassafras?
I haven't.
I feel like every episode of the podcast I come up with a day trip we need to do.
Write this down. Yeah. Take notes.
Is this a Google Maps? Is this a Patreon?
Just for us. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's just for us. It's for our own Patreon to one another.
Yeah. So that was my weekend, BL.
Gorge.
And?
Oh, well, I had a very boring weekend, but I had a very chic little like midweek adventure to the peninsula, to Alba Hot Springs. Finally.
Mm.
I finally soaked.
I'm so glad you did.
I freaking soaked. Shout out to Ceci, who got a very generous gift when she went on maternity leave. And right before going back to work a year later, was like, hey, do you want to be my come and bring a friend for free friend at the hot springs? So we went. There are so many instructions at the hot springs, I've got to be honest.
Yep.
When you check in, it's like, here's your locker scanner wristband and you go this way. And then after you soak, you have to come back and have a shower and put on these specific underwears to go and have your massage. Says he was getting a massage. I wasn't. And then this and that. And then you go through these doors and then up that hill. And then to the right is the sauna and then do this. And I was like, I'm losing track. What was the first thing? I was like, did she say something about private bathing? No, she didn't.
Well, you can book a private pool there.
You can.
Yeah.
It's probably very expensive, but probably also very nice.
I'm sure. But the main ones are really good. I didn't do that.
The main ones are really nice. The sauna, the dry sauna.
Oh, I don't know this.
Do we need a day trip?
Yeah, because I've been, but maybe that wasn't even open when I went.
Okay,
I,
so you kind of like walk, as you walk up the hill and like, yeah. Oh, there are just, I like how there are signs being like, to your left is like winds and like the moat and like, bloomy or whatever. And it's like, I don't know what any of this means. Like put the temperatures on the signs or something. It was a quite fun process of discovery. I started just like dipping my toe in pools being like, no, there are truly so many because Sarah was getting her massage. So I just was exploring and I put my phone in the locker. And so I was like, there's one clock and there's like 50 pools and I don't know what time it is. So I just kept stopping people being like, excuse me, do you have the time? And it had been like 5 minutes since I last asked someone because time moves really slowly when you're soaking all day.
They should have sundials everywhere.
They should, and also teach me how to use them. But I went into the sauna, the dry sauna, and you like sit obviously on the wooden planks along one wall and the other wall is just, it's like a curved glass floor to ceiling. And outside the glass, it's kind of like a nature, you know, like a kind of mound, and they've got all their, you know, beautiful curated native plants planted along it. And there was just a bird like building a little nest. So I just like sat in a sauna watching a bird build a nest.
Do you think that bird's on the payroll there?
Yeah, she was performing her little heart out. I really loved it, but I did keep note of everything that I ordered at the restaurant time.
Is this expense related?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got an $8 Coke Zero. That was the first thing I got. Then I was like, you know what? I'm also going to get a watermelon juice because you know who loves watermelon juice? Me.
Do you? I didn't know that about you.
I like to make it at home. You know when you cut up a watermelon and after a couple of days it all gets a little mush. Soft?
Yeah.
Just blend it up and then pass it through a strainer. Yummiest drink in the fridge.
Okay.
This was not yummy and it was $13. It was in a bottle. It was not freshly made. Then I got a chicken schnitzel for lunch. I hadn't had breakfast. I was really excited for my lunch. $45 chicken schnitzel.
Oh my God.
Couldn't finish it. It was very big. And we got a bowl of chips. Guess how much the bowl of chips was?
Well, I think they're $12 at Julie, a bowl of hot chippies.
Uh-huh.
So I reckon inflation. Yeah.
Plus Karen Martini.
Oh, hadn't factored her in. Are we talking?
You got to factor her in.
$16?
$16 bowl of hot chips.
That's too many. That's too many for hot chips.
That's too many. Karen Martini needs to get a fucking grip. It was crazy.
That's way too many for chippies.
Says he still had $40 left on her voucher after the day and the massage and everything. We still spent so much money at the restaurant just having lunch. Kooky.
Was it part of the voucher?
Her lunch was.
Not yours.
Yeah. Honey, that voucher wouldn't even buy you one schnitzel.
Yeah, I did have lunch there, but I was by myself and it was just full of like gals in their robes.
Did you wear your robe in there?
No, I felt weird. And so I went and got changed and then went to the, and then it was like, well, everyone's in their goddamn robe.
Yeah, I had to. Okay, so the default robe setting is their one robe fits all did not fit me. And so the first like lap of the pools, I just kept my robe open and I was just like dipping in and out of the pools, taking my robe on and off. And then I was like, I have to go and sit in a restaurant. So I went to the front desk and I was like, excuse me, do you have any bigger robes? And they were like, yes. And so they came out with like the specialty requested plus size robe. And I was like, yeah, thanks.
They should offer you a size of robe when you check in.
That is a
bugbear of mine. I don't often fit into the robes.
Yes. Or when they like give you a tour of the locker room that has the robe in the locker.
I don't like it.
That's an opportunity for a robe check.
It is an opportunity for a robe check.
Anyway, I had a really great time at Alba. I will be going back.
But you'll eat first?
No, I'm going to still eat there.
Yeah, okay.
An $8 Coke Zero. Sorry, that's luxury to me. That's more luxurious than soaking. On a Thursday at midday.
That is aspirational.
Yeah.
I can't remember what I think I had like, I remember going, oh, I want to have that fish sandwich. That looks good.
The fish sandwich does look good.
But I think I saw the price and ended up having like a very small salad or something.
Get a fillet of fish from McDonald's. I know we're boycotting McDonald's, but when we're not anymore, on the way home, a fillet of fish will cost you what? $8? This will cost you almost $50 for a fish sandwich.
When you are hooning back from the fancy spa, just go through the drive-thru.
Literally. But yeah, I love a soak. I really am on my soaking. I want to try Inner Studio in Collingwood.
Oh, what's that?
It's another sauna, soak, cold plunge, sauna.
Okay.
I'm also telling everyone that Smoke Sauna Sisterhood is on at Cinema Nova now.
Is it? That is great news.
Oh, yeah. It's been out for a little while.
Oh,
hopefully it's still there because I told my Pilates teacher this morning that she should go.
I know it's screening it on DocPlay online, but that's great. It's a really special cinema experience.
It really is. And also a sauna experience.
Oh, yeah. I love those Finnish ladies.
I love them. I love when they start. I love when they finish.
Have you been watching? Have you been reading?
Yes, but also not really. I'm writing another profile. So I have to be annoyingly cryptic for another month or so until it's out. And so I'm kind of watching afresh some things related to the person that I am profiling at the moment. So that's boring. I can't talk about it. What are you watching?
Well, I watched a little movie that came highly recommended from you last night.
What?
When I got back from my little road trip and it was like, I want to watch something quite dumb.
Uh-huh.
And then was just like mindlessly scrolling through every platform trying to find the perfect thing. And then a little movie called Anyone But You appeared on my screen.
Oh, my God.
Ready for streaming.
Oh, my God.
I rented the cheap option.
You paid for it?
Yeah, because it's not like you have to, it's like new, straight from the cinemas or whatever.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, like,
Yeah, I paid to see it.
You did.
I paid more.
Yeah, I paid $6.99 to rent it for 48 hours, as if, like, I'm going to watch it again in that span.
You should.
Finished. But it was an experience, huh?
Doesn't it make you feel like your brain isn't quite working?
Yes, it really did. I mean, I very enjoyed watching it. Glad I saw it. Very fun also to watch like at home streaming because
yeah.
You can say to someone else out loud or yourself or talk to your cat or your dog like at every ridiculous thing that happens because that will come up.
Yeah.
This is the kind of film where if someone was talking in the cinema, I'd be like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I was talking in the cinema during this movie because every other line reading, I'd go, what? What about the title cards? I think I forgot to mention them to you when we talked about it.
The Much Ado About Nothing?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't like it.
No. It would come up with, you know, it would be some, you know, Shakespearean title card that was unrelated to anything we were watching. And then it would cut to like Sydney Sweeney's Norgs in like an inflatable pool raft.
Yeah. None of those bikini tops did fit her.
What about when the dog... When the dog like jumps up at something and the cake smashes down, it's like, oh, who could have seen this coming? And then Sydney Sweeney is apologizing to everyone as if she'd knocked the cake down. Sydney, this was a big dramatic. Why is she apologizing?
I mean, I would too. I walk into a pole and apologize for it. But
yeah, fair.
It's the thing that really got me, obviously, was the Australianisms.
Mm.
Like just no one speaks like that. And it was so clearly. So
was that like neighbor girl who's always like naked and she's like, oh, you look like a rootin' dingo or something. Yeah.
Oh, you couple of drongos. It's like, oh my God, it's not, we're not doing like bush dancing. It's so bad. And
I wish someone would come along and wake and frighted halfway through that movie.
Well, it was just so ridiculous. And apparently like the woman who co-wrote it or who wrote it initially had found a producer and got Sydney Sweeney on board. And then Sydney Sweeney got the Glenn Powell. And then
she definitely isn't having an affair with.
No chemistry.
No.
And then I think then the director came on board and he had just been filming Will Gluck, one of the worst names ever.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Martin Short character.
Sounds like someone's swallowing.
It really does. Someone's got an esophagus problem.
Look.
Talk to Anna Marie about it. Or don't. But... Yeah, when Will Gluck came on board, he had made Peter Rabbit and Peter Rabbit 2 in Australia and so loved Sydney and then transposed the whole idea to Sydney. Stop. Is how I believe it. I didn't want to read into the making of it too much because wanted to have a brain at the end of it. But I read that and was like, yeah, you think that you, because you lived in Sydney for a little while, yeah, that you know how we all speak.
Did it make you homesick for Sydney, the bit where Sydney Sweeney is, oh, what about how they, there's so many parts of this movie that I didn't mention to you the first time I saw it. I'm so glad we can discuss now, how they always just drive in open top Land Rovers across like the harbour bridge with their hair done on their way to a wedding.
Yeah, my girlfriend was like, their hair. Like, yeah, the cars were cute, but
the cars were ridiculous. Cute, but also how they're driving in one of the open top four-wheel drives past the Opera House and Sydney Sweeney's like, places like that where people get engaged and get married and graduate or whatever. It's like she's having this like poetic kind of like feeling about the Opera House, and then when he like runs to meet her there, like he knows she's gonna be there, it's like, honey, you're just on the forecourt, like you're stopping to get a cappuccino. What are you doing here?
I know, all the people like getting down on one knee in the background, it's like I don't know that doesn't happen. No.
Yeah.
And if it, like, you could do
it's not like the Locks of Love bridge in Paris, you know.
Well, it's just also steps. Not a good photo, like it's not a good photo opportunity because you would want the Opera House in the photo.
Yeah.
But you're just gonna get the steps.
Yeah,
like
you just get the front of a building.
Totally. It's like go to the, you know, Botanic Garden side, you can take a beautiful photo from that angle. But anyway,
Kate, don't be crazy, it's the most romantic place in the world.
I just don't know why they didn't include the seal, the famous Sydney Opera House seal, in it.
Me neither. I've never heard of the seal.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a lost opportunity anyway. But I watched that and I was very pleased to have seen it. And Top Chef has returned. My dog. He's always...
I got really worried for a second.
I'm so sorry. No, he never went away.
Great.
And Padma's gone.
That's right. That was the news. Mm.
But Kristen Kish, previous winner, is doing the Padma role. And she's great. We love her.
Okay.
Loving it.
Are there any chefs that we're into this year?
One is apparently a witch.
Great.
So that will be interesting to watch on screen.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hope she bubbles something in a big cauldron.
Cauldron. Yeah, exactly. That's all I've been watching.
I actually watched a really good rom-com, direct-to-streaming rom-com recently. I'm going to recommend it right now. Upgraded with Camila Mendes, who's from Riverdale. She played Charles Melton's girlfriend. She was Veronica in Riverdale.
Did she get... What was the drug called? Zucked up or something?
Zucked up. Jingle jangle?
Jingle jangle.
They all did jingle jangle.
She got jingle jangled.
She was, I think they were off screen and on screen boyfriend, girlfriend, which is the way it worked with Riverdale. She was also in Do Revenge, which you liked, but she gets to play for the first time ever in this film, Upgraded, an adult woman with a job, not a high schooler.
Oh, good for her.
It's really good. Marissa Tomei plays her boss, who is doing like the kookiest accent.
Oh, I'm in. Anything that Marissa Tomei does. I'm
yeah.
In.
And it's about this girl. So she plays like an intern at an art gallery in New York. Marissa Tomei is her like very serious, mean boss. And she does one little thing to impress her and then gets shipped off to London for this like big auction acquisition. The lady at the airport, like check-in desk, hears the other interns giving her shit and like basically like saying, we only brought you at this time to carry our bags. You're not on our flight. You're on flying economy later. And then upgrades her. She's enjoying her upgrade. She's like in the lounge having an orange juice, like living life. And she meets a man, and through a series of like omissions and lies, he is convinced that she's the head of this big international gallery and not simply an intern. Hijinks ensue.
Yeah. It's I was about to say hilarity. It doth ensue.
It's very fun and good outfits. And any movie where like an American is always just like trundling a suitcase around like cobblestone streets.
I'll watch.
Very funny.
Hey, reading wise, I finally finished a book that I mentioned a while ago called Matrix.
Oh, yeah.
By Lauren Groff. Mm-hmm. I recommended her book Vaster Wilds a couple of episodes ago. And also, I just wanted to mention that she's coming out for Melbourne Writers Festival.
I saw.
I'm going to be away.
Oh, sad. I was going to ask if you wanted to go because she's on a panel with Anne Patchett. Is that right?
She's on. Well, I know that she's on a panel with Charlotte Wood, who wrote my other favorite book of the moment. So, yeah, what a shame.
What
anyway.
A shame. Mm. Well, I'm going to see Anne Patchett.
That's cool.
And Michael Cunningham.
That's cool.
Have you ever heard of The Hours? Because I recently have.
And Leslie Jamison's out too. That's great.
I'm going to save my end of Q1 updates for next week.
Okay.
Because we'll have officially finished Q1 by then.
Okay, great. That gives me an extra 7 days to come good on Q1.
Yeah. I've still got to, I don't know, write a manuscript in the next week, but maybe I can do it.
You can do it. No. You're going to do it.
TBD.
Maybe not.
TBD.
We all know that you need a whole month to write a novel, and that's November. Is it? Is it called?
That's what the no stands for, famously. No, that's novel. It stands for novel.
Is it in?
It happens in November, but none of those things stand for November. I'm just realizing National Novel Writing Month. It's not National November.
Why didn't they put?
I don't know. I guess it just happens. National Novel November.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Okay, finally, BL, we can talk about a film.
Biceps up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's time for Love Lives Bleeding.
Yes. If you are one of our patrons, you would have heard me positively gagged after I'd seen it at the Berlinale and gave BL a little rundown of my quick thoughts about the film and its cast via voice note. So that episode is over on our Patreon if you want to sign up to listen to it. But BL.
Oh, baby.
This film, huh? It's a good time.
It's a really fucking good time. I've been shocked to see that people are like not obsessed with Love Lies Bleeding.
I thought it would be an obsessor. Like, I thought that people would be completely taken with this film. And I don't really understand. It's not like it's had very good reviews, but yeah. I feel like I thought it would be all over my feed and it's not, and it should be.
Yeah. And I feel like the sentiment from the Letterboxd community, which is never the best community, is kind of like, oh, A24 can get away with anything, essentially.
Excuse me.
And thank God Rose Glass can, because this is an excellent film. I loved it.
I loved it too. I've seen it twice now and it was just as fun the second time, but it was kind of good because I was with some people who I knew would want like a second drink in the cinema. So I did get to say like, when you want a drink, I know the only place where you can safely leave the cinema. And I went out and got the drinks, but it's like, it was just as like, it was so fun kind of knowing what was going to happen anyway. And then just being able to sit back and enjoy the whole thing.
Yeah. I can't wait for my second viewing. Okay. So wait, we forewarned last week that we would be having a spoiler filled conversation about Love Lies Bleeding. Should we put the spoiler noise in just in case?
Yeah. So if you have not seen Love Lies Bleeding, we'll play a little noise, look in the show notes and you, can fast forward to when we talk about our next subject.
Okay, so what was the part where you were safely going to the bar to get drinks?
It is when Lou and Jackie, so Kristen Stewart and Katie O'Brien, go to dinner with her sister and her sister's husband.
Great.
Because I was like, because I was telling off this guy with his phone out in Berlin, and I kind of missed the beginning of the major jaw punching scene.
No.
Yeah. And so I missed the tiny bit of it and I was like, I am not missing that again.
Yeah.
And anyway, so that was the only scene where I was like, here's 5 minutes where I know everything that happens and I don't need to see it again.
Yeah. I feel like that scene and what comes after, which is like Kristen Stewart, Lou driving in the car and kind of like kicking Jackie out and then kind of having that back and forth. The detectives are following her. All of the dialogue is so like kind of there on the surface and like expositional that that's when I realized like the true kind of pulpy tone of this movie and maybe a way that wasn't evident to me earlier.
Yeah. I mean, I felt the same, but also it is clearly in the poster image.
Yeah.
Like the way, like it looks like a pulp lesbian pulp fiction novel. Like it could be real that, you know, like the close-up of Katie O'Brien's body in the bikini with a smoking gun and Love Lies Bleeding across it. Like there's a lot of foreshadowing with the imagery.
Yeah.
However, I don't think any of us were picking up on it because we didn't believe that that's what, like I kind of, you know, the A24 might have been doing
world.
Like a bait and switch or something.
Yeah, totally. To make merch.
Yeah. If you're still listening and you haven't seen it and you're just like, nah, I don't care. I'm going to listen to these bitches talk about it. We should tell you what it is. So it's set in the bodybuilding community kind of 1989 in a small town.
Crater, New Mexico.
Yeah. And Lou is Kristen Stewart. She kind of runs this amazing shitty looking gym. And one night Katie O'Brien as Jackie rolls into town. She's hitchhiking on her way to Vegas to take part in a major bodybuilding competition. She has nowhere to stay. She hooks up with Dave Franco as JJ, the most disgusting mulleted man you could ever hope to see on screen. Really perfect.
But the best Franco brother.
The best. Oh, I mean, clearly the best Franco.
Yeah.
And she hooks up with him, hoping to kind of get a job at the gun club where he works. And then she goes to the gym. She camps out under a bridge, turns up at the gym, meets Lou, Kristen Stewart, and they kind of hit it off.
Within moments, it's like, I'm going to inject you with these counterfeit steroids or like under the table steroids. A man's going to punch me in the face and we're going to fuck.
Yeah, that's pretty much that's it.
Yeah. Little does Jackie know that JJ's wife is Beth, Kristen Stewart's character's sister. And the owner of the gun club where she's just got a job waitressing is played by Ed Harris, who is Lou Sr., Kristen Stewart's dad, who is a bug man.
He's a bug man.
He's a bug man and a crime man.
And he's a hair man.
There's a shot of their young family. It's like, oh, before things went bad with mom. And he's already has the bald spot and like just kind of shorter long hair on the sides in the flashback photo.
I heard this interview with Rose Glass with Jason DeRosso on Radio National. And Rose was saying that when Kristen Stewart saw like Ed Harris, she was like, oh, did you get the inspiration from my dad? Because her dad has that haircut.
No, Kristen Stewart's dad's a bug man.
But like they didn't. It was just part of the film.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So then what happens after she rolls into town? They just kind of like hit it off, have this like hot, sexy romance. The steroids are going in. The muscles are getting bigger. The drinks are being served at the gun club.
Daisy is this.
Oh, my God, Daisy.
Methy gal who is flirting up a storm with Lou, even when, like, Lou's trying to unclog the most disgusting toilet I've seen on screen since Trainspotting.
That's right, Daisy. But how funny listening back to our Berlin episode where I'm trying to say that kind of blonde, kind of creepy girl. The word I was looking for was methy.
Yeah,
she's methy. Got grey teeth and like long, dangly, like always sweaty hair.
The grey teeth are great.
Anna Baryshnikov. Wild. She's a comedy genius.
Yeah, aka Mikhail Baryshnikov's daughter.
Yeah, I had some really scary dreams about Mikhail Baryshnikov like a week ago. I'll tell you off mic because they were really distressing. But yeah, the first time we meet her and Lou is cleaning like a clogged, clearly all these like bodybuilding like guys who are jacked are just like completely constipated because they're all just eating like protein only, like they're like full of red meat and then like clogging the gym toilet, I guess,
or it's like gonna be like some real feminine hygiene product problems in there.
But then Daisy's just basically like, when you're done there, can you finger me? When you take those big industrial strength gloves off, I'll be waiting.
It's like, it's not sexy.
It is the least sexy. But Kristen Stewart, I love how scrawny she is in a gym.
I really do love her as like this gym gal. Like she's just constantly in these like
sinewy.
Yeah. Like these oversized gym singlets.
Yeah.
That are very like Gold's Gym, you know? But yeah, and there's one moment when she kind of raises her guns and there's not a lot there.
No. She does have to do a lot of heavy lifting, literally.
She really does.
In this movie, and it's really hard for her.
She's good at it.
She's not that good at it.
She gets the job done.
She gets the job done eventually.
Yeah. Can I just say, Jenna Malone as Kristen Stewart's sister, why has nobody done that before?
Makes a lot of sense.
It is perfect. They are the same height. They look similar. They have the same kind of like
mousy, ratty kind of face.
Yeah, and like that kind of like odd sensuality about them. Anyway, I was like, this, I buy it. They were really funny together on screen.
People are going to be mad about me saying mousy and ratty then, but Jenna Malone is kind of mouth. She looks like she's like a character in the cartoon Arthur.
Yeah, okay.
Jenna Malone has never really made sense to me. Like, because the era of Jenna Malone I grew up in was always that she was cast as the girl who was like new in town and everyone was obsessed with her. Like Donnie Darko or like Saved, you know, like everyone on screen saw Jenna Malone and was like, I love you. Mm-hmm. And I never, she seemed so normal to me that I never fully got her, I think. I, as a teenage girl, was like, what? What am I missing here?
The thing that I got with her was when she appeared on the cover of Index magazine. It was such a good cover and such a good interview. I was like, oh, I get it.
Do you know what I've just realized? She is playing Ed Harris's daughter again. Stepmom.
What's Stepmom?
Stepmom. The movie where Julia Roberts plays her stepmom and Susan Sarandon's dying of cancer.
I've never heard of this film.
Kate, what?
No, I don't know. I don't know it.
I would tell you to go home and watch it, but you'll cry all night. Stepmom?
No. I don't know it.
Jenna Malone plays the daughter, and she has a little brother. They are the children of Susan Sarandon and Ed Harris,
mm-hmm.
who got a divorce. Ed Harris is with Julia Roberts, who's a photographer in New York, and he proposes to her, and Jenna Malone as the teen daughter hates her. Isabel hates Isabel, and Susan Sarandon's character is like the perfect stay-at-home mom and is really icy towards Julia Roberts, but then finds out she's battling like terminal cancer and is kind of like, you are the woman who's going to be raising my children. Iconic movie. Anyway, Ed Harris plays Jenna Malone's dad in that too.
Is he a bug guy?
No, he's an absent father.
Well, he's an absent father in this.
Yeah,
kinda.
He really is. Yeah. Which is worse.
I love when Jenna Malone and Kristen Stewart have their like final fight. It's so good.
It's so good. Jenna Malone's face is like, there's a scene where she's waiting out the front of the hospital for Kristen Stewart to pick her up. And she's kind of just like standing there in the harsh, like New Mexico sunlight. And she's just waiting and she turns her head and she's got this like elephant man, like swelling, bruising on her face.
Yeah.
And the like horror of what her abusive husband has done to her is kind of offset by like how kind of goofy that shot is.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing with this film is that there are lots of like really hideous, like hard hitting moments. However, they are all couched in this like very genre, like pulpy, like wave. Mm. Like it's this vibe that kind of emanates from this whole film. It's like you kind of can't take anything like too seriously. It is funny.
Yeah.
Like it's not a comedy as such, but it's a good time.
It's a good time. And when someone's like trying to dump a body or cleaning up blood or doing something else very illegal, and then Anna Baryshnikov shows up again, baring those gray teeth, or when she gives Kristen Stewart a card, a get well card, and she's drawn a little sunflower that's winking and there's a cigarette coming out of its mouth.
No, and the sunflower's like wearing blue eyeshadow. Oh gosh, it's so good. There are so many good details in this, like that, and the book that Kristen Stewart is reading, Macho Sluts.
Macho Sluts. And then someone else picks up Macho Sluts later.
The policeman or the detective. Yeah. Oh God, it's so funny, so good. I love it.
The cat licking at the blood.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So great.
Even the final shot where Jackie's asleep in the car and Lou hears the thumping in the back of the car. Yeah. And it's just that long one take of weedy little Kristen Stewart just like dumping another fucking body and then taking a cigarette out of the pocket.
I love it. Yeah, I really felt like Kristen Stewart finally got to do like a really good comic character. Like she has great comic timing. She's very funny.
She's so dry.
She has like such a kind of nuanced kind of, I don't know, like way of acting, like her whole, like, you know, that interview that she did recently where she had to try and work out what line was from one of her films. And then she was like, oh, I have to do it the Kristen Stewart way. And yeah. She read something out. Like, perfect.
She gets her shtick as much as anyone else does.
Absolutely. And yeah. It's used to full the nth.
Yeah.
The nth
degree.
This time.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I love. Yeah, she's really funny, and I love when she's like, you know, her dad finally says, is this a threat?
Are you threatening me?
And she just says, yup. It's great.
And then her at the end, like coming to his house and for the big showdown, and it's like guns and love and like rescuing, but she's like weedy little Kristen Stewart, and she's like running into this giant house as her, like, I guess dad's girlfriend or stepmom is running out, and she's like, fuck you, Lou.
Yeah. And then when she finally finds Katie before Katie has turned into like the Incredible Hulk, and which is... such a good moment. But then she jumps on her back trying to slow her down because she's so small.
I thought she was going to piggyback her.
Okay, let's get
her
into...
her leg sore by then.
Maybe. Okay, let's get into the Katie O'Brien stuff, because I was like, how have I never heard of this woman?
I know.
And then I looked up her filmography and was like, oh, that is why.
Oh, that's how.
Like my true blind spots. It's like... The Mandalorian, mm-hmm. the Ant-Man sequel. I saw the original, and like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's like, yeah, I'm not.
She was also apparently in Halt and Catch Fire, which I was always meaning to watch and never watched.
What's that one?
I don't know, like 5 years ago, HBO show. I never watched a single second,
yeah.
But was always like, that's one I'll start. Like Devs, never started.
No, same.
Industry, never started.
Can't do it. Billions, didn't do that either.
Me neither. Are we missing anything? Maybe not.
Just going to name shows Suits. That we haven't seen.
I'm just picturing people in office buildings. Industry, billions, Suits. I might watch Mandalorian though, TBD.
Okay.
I'm also thinking of following Katie O'Brien's wife on Instagram.
I already do, babe.
Yeah. She's really proud of her hot girl, hot wife.
Yeah. There was one post she put up and I think it was like when it was announced, like the poster or something. And then the comment underneath was like, this one goes out to like all the people who told me I was dating a monster, basically. It's really,
what?
I was like, oh my, like someone needs to get media treating on her.
Yeah, let's lock this profile down. Good thing you followed it before it inevitably goes private and should.
Probably should.
Kylie Chi.
Yeah, no, but I started following naturally.
Naturally. The physicality of like a very muscular woman on screen is something that I have never seen before and enjoyed so much.
Yeah. Well, I love that Rose Glass was kind of told that the film that she should be making next was about like a strong woman, like a strong girl.
After St. Maud.
Yeah. And then she was like, all right, I'm going to subvert that and I'm just literally going to make it about a female bodybuilder.
No way.
Yeah, and then she had a meeting with Kristen Stewart and got Kristen Stewart on board.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah. But Katie O'Brien only got cast like weeks before they started filming.
Oh, my God.
But it's like a role she was born to play.
She was born to play. I guess you would, like, what do? You go to, like, a bodybuilding competition to cast a movie like this?
Because I was watching it thinking, oh, like, because I didn't recognize her. I thought, oh, she's a bodybuilder and they have written this part for her.
Yeah.
But no.
It's like Zoe Bell in Death Proof or something. It's like stunt woman.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Totally. But she's so good in it.
She's incredible. And, like, her acting chops are as strong as her, like, biceps.
Yeah, and she does. Like roid rage, she does romance, God. She does completely strung out and high.
The strung out, like, what are they called when you see something that's something? Hallucinations and spewing at the bodybuilding competition.
Oh, yeah,
was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's unhinged.
It was so good, but also so sad. I wanted so badly for her to do really well in her competition, but
she couldn't have.
As soon as she got in that van,
she killed a man.
She killed many people.
She had only killed one person at that point, right?
Sure. And
then she went back to kill the others.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She got that like sniper gun from Bugman.
Had you had the Hulk scene like ruined?
No.
No. I feel like that is like the best kept secret at cinemas at the moment.
Big girl.
Because I was astounded when it happened. Was not expecting.
No.
And loved it.
Me too. Well, she just kept like every time she shot up this was not testosterone, like the steroid, the roids, the close-up shots of muscles and the tearing, like foley sound of like, like tendons stretching and like muscles like bulging and the close-up veins popping. It started to make me feel a little ill.
Oh, yeah.
And then when it culminated in just like Big Mama, like lean down and pick up little bug man. Oh my goodness. I was so tickled.
Yeah. Yeah. Tickled is the right word for it.
Because when she first busts out of a singlet top, you're like, lol, Hulk smash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
Hulk mama.
Yeah. I really love this scene directly after it when you see her running through the clouds and then Kristen Stewart coming up behind also running, and Kristen Stewart is now wearing a sequined sports bra. It was, I think it's one of my favorite moments on screen so far this year.
It was really good. I kind of wish she was like riding her back.
Yeah.
Like it was like the never ending story or something.
But it's just, it's so funny and it's so camp.
It's like so funny.
Twisted. I loved it.
Yes. Yeah.
And the music in it was so great too. Like it could have, like it's 1989. They could have gone for some major 80s tunes, but it lent really into kind of the new wave side of things, which I loved. That Gina X performance song, Nice Mover, that plays during like the first big gym montage. Perfection. And then I love that it ended with that Martin Rev from Suicide song. Can't remember what it's called right now. Whisper. And it has like such a David Lynch vibe. Mm. Yeah. I loved that.
It was so good. The set design, the styling, the fact that we cannot buy a Krita gym t-shirt to cut into a tank top or just a tank top. And instead A24 have decided to do the online ceramics fake bootleg version of this movie. It's such a wasted opportunity.
It is. I expect more from you, A24.
Me too. I want what is behind Kristen Stewart in the gym, which is just a rack of the same Krita gym shirt, but in all different colors.
Yeah. I'm sure online ceramics are laughing all the way to the bank at this point, but I'm like, not everything needs the OC treatment.
No, I don't need, like, I remember years ago at a music festival, a guy was wearing the Online Ceramics Hereditary shirt. Oh, yeah. And it was probably before I knew what Online Ceramics or A24 were. And I was like, what a fucked up shirt. That's so cool. Mm. I don't need one of those with Ed Harris's face on it.
No, I really don't.
Like Toni Collette screaming, I'm your mother, is one thing. But like Bugman, no.
No. They should have done an ashtray is what they should have done.
Mm.
With like maybe some of the no smoking, like the some like a transcription of the like quit smoking tape that Kristen Stewart keeps listening to.
Or what about you know, like it feels like a missed opportunity too, to have like Seth Bogart do like a Muscle Sluts t-shirt through his shop.
Yeah, Macho Sluts.
What did I call it?
Muscle sluts.
Macho sluts.
They're muscle sluts too. Let's face it.
Okay, speaking of sluts, the sex scenes in this movie are so good.
They're really good.
The only bit I didn't like is I did shower maths.
Only you.
The first time that Kristen Stewart eats Jackie out is she's rolled into town, slept with Dave Franco, then slept outside. Then worked out, then they have sex.
Yeah.
I just needed to see her have a shower at some point in the middle of that.
She would definitely be using like doing a little basin.
Yeah. Or what
basin shower.
What Snooki on Jersey Shore used to call a shore shower, which was wet wipes.
Oh, gross.
Well,
it's also known as a whore's bath.
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
I don't know what the better term for that
it's
is.
It's just the colloquial
it probably
term.
Isn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon she would have been doing that. Surely. Okay. Or
let's just tell ourselves
Kristen
that
Stewart
we didn't
was
see it.
Into, I don't know.
Maybe she was into it. But yeah, loved that. Their chemistry is incredible.
I was off the hook. I thought it was great and I felt like it was the kind of like I'm very much one of those people who was like, we don't always need queer people to play queer people. Like truly, I don't, you know, can we look at Carol for a second here? But when you see this kind of film, you're like, oh, these women already have sex with other women. Mm-hmm. They don't need a coach to tell them where to put their hands.
Yes.
Like this is, they do this. They know what they're doing.
Yes. It's not like the straight women who like do porn and have long French manicures and just kind of like honk one another's tits.
honking.
It's not that.
Like pinching. Like pinching.
I prefer
honking.
Sorry.
That's funny. They were really good.
Yeah.
And like they're quite explicit.
Oh, yeah. They're kind of like when Kristen Stewart's like, show me how you fuck yourself.
Oh, Jesus. It was like Ammonite territory. Did you ever see that?
I never saw it. Yeah. There were too many, not too many. I didn't say too many. There were a lot of like period lesbian movies in like the same 12-month period. And sorry, I keep saying period, but there were too many to keep track of. And I was like, which one have I seen?
Yeah, the bonnet lesbians. Yeah.
There were so many bonnet lesbians. Thank
you. It's okay, Brody. I saw them all.
What was it? Portrait of a Lady, Ammonite. There were at least two others.
Yeah, there was one that was set in like...
There were Handmaiden, I think, counts.
Yeah, there was like a sort of Civil War era American one I saw.
Okay, and was the Rachel Weisz Orthodox Jew one around the same time?
Well, yeah, it was like a little bit earlier, but yeah.
Anyway.
That was like near Carol, I reckon.
Good for the girls.
Good for the gals. But yeah, these ones, no.
The first time that Jackie comes out of Kristen Stewart's bedroom and she's making her eggs... And she's wearing her Crater gym shirt, so it's kind of a little too small. And then her just like 80s black G-string and with her muscly legs. And she makes her eggs and she's like, leave the yolks out next time. And there's just a montage of like cigarette butts and egg yolks and like steroid bottles in the trash. Yeah. It's so good.
Good job, Rose Glass.
Rose Glass, you're really fucking good. Keep making these kooky movies with these strong women.
Absolutely. One of my see-alsos for this is an interview that was in Rolling Stone. It had the cover that went totally viral of Kristen Stewart and Jockstrap. It's called Kristen Stewart Uncensored. I want to do the gayest thing you've ever seen in your life. And in it, she talks about being like an, quote, openly gay movie star and talking about why she wanted to make this film. And she said that it had appealed to her because it was a queer film that didn't revolve around the coming out narrative. Mm. And the queerness was less a plot point than a vibe.
It really is.
It really is.
It's the tone.
And I think that's why I appreciated it so much, because it's like, and why I keep saying it's a good time, because it really is. It's like I'm not dealing with the, like, did someone get thrown out of home for being gay? It's like, did someone get thrown out of home because they killed someone? Like,
yeah,
you know.
Did someone's dad, did this little lesbian's dad kick her out of the house because she ratted to the cops about his, like, crimes?
Totally. One thing I forgot to say, the lighting was so good. Like the cinematography is so beautiful. And I loved it, like the crater kind of flashback scenes, that it was like that eerie red. Mm. And I loved when Ed Harris and Kristen Stewart, the first time that they kind of meet up outside of those visions, essentially, is in front of a glowing red Coke vending machine in the hospital hallway, and it's like this soft red on their face. It's like, it's really nicely done.
That's true. It really is. I love them on screen together. I wish they kind of had a lot more scenes together.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Him trying to like fully kill her at the end was like, that's cinema, baby.
That is cinema, baby.
Yeah.
Do you have any see-alsos?
I do. There's one. There's just maybe it's less a see-also and more just like a funny little interview moment with Rose Glass with Rachel Handler in Vulture from the time that St. Maud came out, where she's talking about this interview she had done with where a male journalist asked her how she's, quote, handled filming the gory stuff in her films. And she was like, I wrote it. Like, I wrote that stuff. And she kind of said, like, someone told me cinema audience for horror tend to be made up of more women, and there's so much more weirdness throughout history that has to do with women and their bodies and the paranormal, and we're tapping into that, which I really love. Like, weird women's bodies is like perfect territory for like a horror director.
Totally.
I don't know if it's a see also because I'm not sure if you can see it anywhere, but there's this Turkish video artist called Ali Kazma who made this work called Bodybuilders, and I saw it at Mona Foma in Launceston in like January 2020, the last Interstate Arts Festival I went to for a long time. But like all of this video work was curated by Mona Foma, and this one specifically was screened in like the locker room of a gym. And so you went in and it stunk like men's BO and kind of like stale male air as you're watching this like video of just kind of like oiled, tanned bodybuilders, like flexing, projected on the wall. It was very cool. And I've talked about Casey Johnson so much on the podcast, but her newsletter, She's a Beast, she interviewed Katie O'Brien and delivered, quote, the actual real deal nitty gritty honest to God details of how a muscle mother trained for her swole role.
Read it, loved it.
Very good. Muscle Mother title of episode.
One of your favorite films also, you've loved Saint Maud. You've mentioned it a couple of times on the pod and I love it too. It's so great. And it's streaming on SBS On Demand at the moment, so you can watch it.
And who plays the actress in that? Jennifer Ely?
Jennifer Ely's in it.
Who love I her. Didn't know who she was until we did our Rachel Weisz Twice episodes.
That's right.
So I had to revisit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on SBS On Demand and you can also rent it on Apple TV, YouTube, etc. Yeah. Any others?
No, that's all mine. Do you have others?
Yeah, I got a couple. You were talking about like women's body horror. Recommendation for the excellent book, The Monstrous Feminine by Barbara Creed. And she's actually got a new book out that came out last year, incredible Melbourne filmmaker academic, called Return of the Monstrous Feminine, Feminist New Wave Cinema. And in that she kind of goes through a number of different films directed by women that she kind of thinks of as being horror and somehow related to the monstrous feminine body. A couple more. The playlist of the soundtrack is on Spotify, so I'll list it. And if you need more queer bodybuilding,
yes please.
There's the,
yes please. The, I do.
The Chicago-based Gerber Hart Library and Archives on Instagram has been putting up really great archival lesbian bodybuilding content because of Love Lies Bleeding. Oh. Very good. That's at Gerber Hart. And I don't know if this is available. I've seen it once and I loved it, but there was a documentary called Pumping Iron 2, The Women, which was made in 1985. The man version came out in like 1977, but this is a doc that follows like a few women who are leading up to competing in the 1983 Caesars World Cup. And it's pretty fun.
Okay, love. I also need to find, this is a call for recommendations, some good like lifting gear, because as we're moving into winter, everything I own makes me look like Miss Trunchbull. and I need to not. I just need to make those comparisons stop.
Okay, we're on it.
The streets are talking and they're saying I look like Miss Trunchbull. The streets is the voice in my head.
Oh, I thought you meant the streets. Well, they were in town recently.
Mike Skinner saw me at the gym and was like, he's bleeding Miss Trunchbull. I think you are really fit. Okay, let's stop. Okay, welcome back. Post-spoiler discussion. We hope you'll go see that movie so you can listen to that silly little chat we just had about it.
Why not?
Why not? It's time for Also Alsos. What's your first recommendation, Jinxie?
Okay, my first one is actually a little experience that I had today, BL, that I haven't told you about. Love a bit of mystery.
Yeah.
I was invited by Sarah and Sebastian, the beautiful jewelry label, to come in for an ear alchemy appointment in Melbourne.
Stop. I want to do this.
And I had a styling experience.
Is that a fresh piercing in your ear?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I had like a styling experience where a stylist talked me through like what I should get, like what kind of would fit my vibe and my earlobes and like whether I should be doing cartilage, blah, blah, blah. And it's funny because I walked in and I...
Speaking of body horror, is Jinxie doing cartilage today?
Well, I got in there early and had a look around and there was one little piece that I thought, oh, that's cute. And it was like this little gold evil eye with like a little blue diamond in it. Uh-huh. And I just noted it and didn't mention it and no one saw me look at it. And then when I spoke to the stylist, she was like, I'm feeling evil eye.
Wow.
Yeah.
She read you.
She totally ripped her filth. And it was just like a great experience from start to finish.
Is that studio? Have I got the right one that it's kind of looks like a brutalist, like torture chamber, but chic?
No.
Okay. This is a different piercing studio then, like concrete, black leather.
No, it's very kind. It's concrete, but it's like, it's really warm with like the white leather banquette inside. It's so okay, Sarah and Sebastian opened up a shop in Melbourne.
Okay.
I think in Sydney, they're in the Mecca, the big Mecca. But in Melbourne, it's on Exhibition Street. And so they've got their own standalone boutique where you can go in and look at jewellery, and then they've got the piercing on the side. But yeah, it was really fab.
I will be going to get my ears alchemized.
Yeah, well, I'm already like, I want another.
I'll go with you.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, we're addicted to piercings
now. We're addicted to piercings. Have you ever had like a facial piercing?
Yeah, I got my lip pierced just after I turned 16. I used my birthday money.
Bless you.
I went to like the bikey shop to get my lip pierced, and I really wanted, because I was emo, and I really wanted like a really delicate, thin, like sleeper ring that just like sat really close to my lip.
Just hugging.
But turns out when you first get a piercing, you have to get the really thick one with the ball on it for ages, but before you can go down to a sleeper stud. And I didn't like it. It made it really hard to like drink Milo and do all the other things a 16-year-old wants to do. And also I had my induction for student council. And this was also the period where I was a naughty girl and I smoked at the school gate for the first time ever, and then went in for my induction for student council, and they made me tape it up with like skin colored band-aids. And they were like, you can't have a facial piercing when you're getting your badge for student council. And I just took it out. I had it for 10 days.
Oh, wow.
My grandma told me my brain must have leaked out that hole in your face.
Oh my God. Of course you did. I had a labret piercing and it lasted 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I unfortunately still have the scar to prove it.
No. Oh my God. So 6 weeks does it. 10 days. I have no scar.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go get our cheeks pierced.
Oh my God.
It's coming up to winter.
True Detective.
It's coming up to winter.
No.
Okay. My first one is, while I'm talking about video art, I want to point everyone in Melbourne to the direction of Stanislava Pinchuk's new work, The Theatre of War. It's a 3-channel video work. Sorry if I'm not describing things right. I'm not an art girl, but it's playing for free at Acme in Gallery 3 downstairs till the 9th of June. And it basically is this kind of like modern retelling of like Homer's The Iliad, and it kind of transposes that story over like conflict in Bosnia and the Ukraine and the idea of the theater of war and performance and like sites of war, which is something that is kind of throughout Stanislava's work. And I feel like if I keep talking about it, I'm going to say the wrong thing, but it was really moving, and it's like 10 minutes and you can just go and kind of like let it wash over you on a loop. And yeah, it was really moving.
Great. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
Love her work. My next one is a film that I've probably mentioned before, but it's out in cinemas now. It's Perfect Days by Wim Wenders. And I just love this film. It's boils down to being a film that explores the quite simple life of a toilet cleaner in Tokyo. And it's just, it's like one of those films that just kind of washes over you. Mm-hmm. And it leaves you a little changed, I think. It's really beautiful. Saja Koji Yakusho, he won the Best Actor at Cannes last year and so deserve it. It's really beautiful. I've got a much lengthier review of it in the monthly if you want to read that.
Oh, amazing. I can't wait to read. I think I saw that at MIFF because of your rave review of it. And I was so moved by that movie. It made me want to get rid of all my possessions.
Yeah, it is the opposite of Love Lies Bleeding.
Yeah. Yeah. My next recommendation is a very simple one. It's the Carlton Gardens Tennis Club, where you can...
Who book. Is she?
I know. She's meeting her cue on goal of 5 tennis games tomorrow, and all but one have been played at Carlton Gardens, a beautiful garden in inner city Melbourne, a beautiful tennis court. A great little place to sit and wait while your friend gets changed in the clubhouse, if you so choose. Surrounded by trees, it's gorge. And you don't have to be any kind of member or anything. You just go online and you can book a tennis court in like half hour increments. And it's been a really lovely thing that I've kind of been doing in Q1.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it. My last one is a podcast that I have only just started listening to, so can't, you know, vouch for it further than that. But I've been thinking a lot about, it's probably because I just got my tax done for the first time in a while, but thinking about money and the fact that I know not very much about how money works and how taxes work and all those things. It's something that has not skipped me by because I had so much of it that I didn't need to worry about it. So I'm listening to a podcast, an Australian podcast called She's on the Money, hosted by Victoria Devine, who I believe used to be like a financial advisor. It's very millennial, younger millennial focused so far for me.
Okay.
20-year-olds with like $20,000 in savings, etc. Not my experience. And but she's talking about things like EFTs and like stocks and things that I feel like even if it's not what I'm going to be doing with money, I would like to understand the concept of it.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to that at the moment and I'm finding it quite enlightening.
Yeah, great. I feel totally the same, Jinxie. Just yesterday, my football team was winning for a very brief period before they lost a game. And I texted my friends because I went on Sports Bet, where I've never made a bet before, but I was like, we're so low ranked that if I put $400 on for them to win the flag, I'd make 40 grand by September. Turns out because it's a bad bet because they're not a very good team. But also I was like, that's how money works, right? That's how people make a lot of money, right? It's like the lotto. Anyway, good recommendation. Thank you. I clearly need it. One of us really needs it. My last one is also a podcast. It's a recent episode of the Modern Love podcast from the New York Times. They're celebrating 20 years this year. And I don't listen to all of their podcasts, but I guess what they're doing is inviting people on to kind of read from their favorite Modern Love columns over the last 20 years. And Samin Nosrat, the cook and cookbook author, was on this recent episode and she knew exactly what essay that she was going to read. And it's a very famous one. It's like one of the most read Modern Love columns, but I had never heard of it or read it. It's called You May Want to Marry My Husband by Amy Krauss Rosenthal, who was a director and writer who passed away shortly after this essay was published. And it's all about kind of her love for her husband and how great he is as a partner and how in the event of her death, she kind of wants him to fall in love again and have a new love story with someone who isn't her. And there's kind of a pre and post reading chat with Samin Nosrat where she describes kind of some recent loss in her life and kind of living with depression her whole life and how understanding that like time as the one thing that you can't buy more of with the people you love makes her, as she said, go fully YOLO now in her, I believe, like 40s. And I just really loved that idea of kind of YOLOing through your life because you can't get that like precious thing back with anyone.
Yeah. Enjoy your life.
Enjoy your life. That's it for this week's episode. Thanks to all the macho sluts who tuned in and are coming to see Girlfriends with us in a few weeks. We're very excited to see you there.
Yes, we are.
I surprised you with that one.
Very amusing to me. Follow us on See Also Podcast and tell your friends about the podcast. We'd love you to do that. We'd love it if you could leave us a little review over on Apple Podcasts. And thanks as ever to Harvey Sutherland for our original theme song and our imagery by Samuel Hodge.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com. Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.